Welcome to Prevention Matters. I'm Dr. Corinne Houston, Interim President at Partnership for Prevention. We're a nonprofit organization of leaders from the business, healthcare, and government communities dedicated to making disease prevention and health promotion a national priority. Each week, we'll be talking with some of the key players in the world of prevention and health policy. Today, we're talking with Dr. Yolanda Wimberly, who's a nationally recognized pediatrician and the medical director for the Center for Excellence in Sexual Health at Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta. The Centers for Disease Control recently reported that screening rates for chlamydia are disturbingly low, even as it has become the nation's most common reportable sexually transmitted disease. Partnership for Prevention has organized the National Chlamydia Coalition to help increase routine screening for chlamydia infections, and we're going to talk about issues around chlamydia today. Hello, Dr. Wimberly.
Hello.
Let me ask you first. Most people don't hear much about chlamydia, but it sounds like it's a disease with some pretty serious consequences. Can you start off by just telling us what chlamydia is and what those consequences are?
Yes. Chlamydia is a sexually transmitted disease, or some people may call it a sexually transmitted infection, otherwise known as what people may be familiar with as an STD. Chlamydia is one of the more common STDs, especially when you're talking about the teenage and young adult population. It is an infection that can be transmitted by having sex. Most of the time that sex would be unprotected sex, meaning sex without a condom. And chlamydia has some consequences. Firstly, if you have chlamydia, most of the time you usually will not have symptoms, meaning any type of discharge or any type of sores or anything of that nature that may be visible to the eye. Someone may feel completely fine. And the consequences can be, if it goes and it's not treated, is that it can actually develop into something called pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID. And with that infection, it goes into the upper reproductive tract, and it can actually cause some scarring of the fallopian tubes. And your fallopian tubes are the tubes that you need to use when people try to get pregnant. And so, therefore, some of the consequences could be if you do have untreated chlamydia and it does turn into pelvic inflammatory disease and you do have a lot of severe scarring of those tubes, you may have difficulties with trying to get pregnant in the future. In addition to that, another consequence of chlamydia is that because it doesn't have a lot of symptoms, what can happen is you can easily spread it to other people without even knowing that you have it, first of all, and B, not even knowing that you're spreading it to others.
Well, those sound like pretty serious consequences, and there's no symptoms. So why are the screening rates so low, and what are the screening rates right now?
Really, with chlamydia, it really depends on what you're looking at as far as what screening rates are. Of course, if you look in your sexually transmitted disease or STD clinics or your public health facilities that deal primarily with sexually transmitted diseases, your screening rates are actually pretty good. I work at a public health facility, and everyone who comes into our office is screened for chlamydia at that time. So when you're looking in that type of a setting, you may have great rates. But when you're looking at just maybe your private practitioners or just your regular doctor's offices, those screening rates may vary. And a lot of times they may vary based on the comfort level of your healthcare provider and also their knowledge that there is a test that's out there that can detect chlamydia. So there are a lot of things that go into what a particular screening rate is, but needless to say, the screening rates are lower than what we would like to see them. A lot of people actually do go to their physicians and do not get screened for chlamydia, especially in the private sector, because of the fact that we need to make sure that people know that testing is available, first of all, and secondly, that testing needs to be done. The CDC, as well as the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, all recommend that sexually active women below the age of 25 or younger who are sexually active be screened for chlamydia on an annual or yearly basis at least once a year. And I would say that you may need to do it more frequently if someone is coming in with a change of a sexual partner, having unprotected sex, or having any symptoms at all. You know, I would screen them more often. So the screening rates are not actually as high as we would like them to be. And I think some of that is because of knowledge and access to care. And those are some things that we really need to raise up those rates, because as you increase your screening of chlamydia, you could potentially increase the amount of infection that you capture, and it's easily treatable so that you will not have as many consequences as you can have with untreated chlamydia.
So it sounds like it's a matter of educating young women and also educating healthcare providers.
Exactly. I think that I'm a huge proponent of patients being educated. I feel as healthcare providers, yes, we need to be educated, but if I arm my patient with education, then they can definitely bring the conversation up with their healthcare provider if their healthcare provider does not address that issue at their visit.
Well, I heard you say that young women should be screened. Why isn't it recommended that men get screened?
Well, usually when you look at the screening criteria and the guidelines that come down, they're based a lot on evidence-based medicine and what the potential consequences are. And because we know that the consequences of untreated chlamydia in women can be, infertility, if they get PID, sometimes in addition to that, they can get chronic pelvic pain. And those are things that we can measure in males. I'm not sure if the studies have just shown that there is a direct correlation to something that definitely happens to a male if chlamydia is untreated. We know that they can get something called epididymitis, but because you have to look at the potential consequences in males, I don't think that we have studied that quite a bit. But I do recommend that all men who are 25 and under, just as women and sexually active, be screened for chlamydia. And the CDC also does recommend that at-risk male groups, so any youth between the ages of 15 and 24, any youth who are in the entering into the justice system, and also males who have sex with other males. Those are groups that are at-risk groups that we do at the CDC recommend that they are screened as well. But in addition to that, I tell all of my providers, and I do so myself, I screen every male under the age of 25 who is sexually active, at least on an annual basis, because the women are getting it from somewhere is my theory, and I just think that in order to provide the best care and to battle the epidemic that we have with chlamydia, especially in the 15 to 24-year-old age group, we've got to look at both males as well as females. And hopefully one day the research will come along, but I definitely do screen both people.
Well, you mentioned provider awareness that there is a screening test as one barrier for more people being screened, but what are some of the other provider kind of issues that might be keeping more women from being screened?
Well, first of all, as a educator, I educate medical students as well as PA students as well as residents. I think it begins in school. I think that, first of all, you have to look at the curriculum that is taught in different healthcare professional schools. Our sexually transmitted diseases taught, that's going to be the time where you're going to raise the initial awareness in your healthcare providers. Secondly, studies have shown that people will tend to do what they did in residency as far as how they practice medicine. And if screening of STDs was not emphasized as a resident, then that may be something that, they may not necessarily have a great awareness of. In addition to that, in addition to lack of knowledge and lack of exposure, you may also have lack of provider reimbursement. It depends on what insurance company you're with and what they have adopted as to whether or not, if I choose that I want to screen someone for chlamydia, if it's even covered by their insurance policy. So, the tests range, in cost, but it may be that a patient says, if it's not covered by my insurance, I don't want to have the test. And so that can be an issue, too, is that the provider wants to do it, the patient wants to do it, but it's not something that is that's reimbursed on their insurance, and so people may not be able to afford the test or want to pay for the test out of pocket. Some healthcare providers may not necessarily feel comfortable talking about sexually transmitted disease or talking about sex in general. You know, a comfort level has to be built within it for a healthcare provider themselves to be able to ask someone, you know, about a sexual history to elicit if there is a need for any type of STD testing in that patient. And so it may be that they feel uncomfortable speaking about sex to their patients, and so it never comes up. We know that one study showed that 10%, only 10% of patients are going to bring up issues around sex if it's not brought up by the provider. So we know that if we as providers do not bring the issue up, more than likely the issue will not be discussed and a patient may go home and not really be fulfilled. And then some doctors, you know, they may feel that, you know, my patients don't have to worry about that because they may be a certain race, ethnicity, they may be a certain socioeconomic status, they may be in a certain geographic area. And so they may have a perception that their patients are not at high risk for STDs because they may not fit the typical profile of what someone with chlamydia, you know, will look like. And so you have a multitude of things that go into the reasons why people may not want to be screened. Now, we have urine tests now. They've been out now for the past 10 years or so. And so what these tests allow you to do is you can actually take someone's urine and test them for chlamydia. Now, that makes it a much easier process than having to do a pelvic exam on women or insert the Q-tip into the urethra on the male, which some people can consider as painful experiences, and they may not, you know, choose to do the testing because of their perception of pain with doing the procedure. But now that we have urine-based screening, it really makes it a lot easier to test for chlamydia because most people are willing to give you a urine sample. And actually, most people who go to the healthcare provider, especially for a physical examination, are getting a urine for a urinalysis anyway. And so I think that that makes that process a little bit easier. But in order to be able to really talk about some of the barriers that exist or really knock down some of those barriers, we're going to have a multi-pronged approach at trying to tackle those issues because, in my opinion, it's not just one thing that stops people from doing it. I think it's a multitude of things at different levels of training that we really need to work with.
Well, you alluded to some racial disparities associated with the disease. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes. African-American between the ages of 15 and 24 have the highest rates of chlamydia. And, you know, we have been looking to see what are these health or, you know, health disparities, you know, that are attributed to one race having a higher infection rates than other races. And, you know, we really haven't come at any strong conclusions. We do know that education plays a part in it. We do know that access to quality health services plays a part in it. You know, I always try to say there's a difference between access to health care and access to quality health care. So making sure that you're going to a place that is going to know what are the things that they need to screen you for, what are the things that they need to do. In addition to that, you also have to look at condom use among 15 to 24-year-olds and also among different race ethnicities. That condom use, there's going to be a difference with that. And I think a lot of it goes back to education. A lot of it goes to other things that have nothing to do with STDs, like self-esteem, access to services, money, rural areas. In rural areas, you tend to have fewer healthcare providers per person, and so therefore we know that minorities tend to live in more rural areas, and so your access to quality healthcare may be decreased at that particular point in time. Insurance, you know, I'm an adolescent medicine provider, so I would say that probably at one of my clinics about 95% of my patients are uninsured. So what that means is that, you know, they're 20 years old, they're working at you know, maybe, you know, a store in the mall or something. And most employers do not offer health benefits, especially if you're working in a job that may pay less than $25,000 a year. You're at high risk for not having a job that has health benefits. So looking at those types of issues, and one of the issues that I have in my clinic, one of the main issues I have in my clinic that is predominantly African American, is that the majority of my patients are uninsured. So when I want to do testing on them, it becomes, you know, a barrier. And so I think there's a multitude of things that go into why there are racial disparities. And it's very sad because these disparities have existed for so long. And we know now that the disparities actually are widening as far as when you're looking at different groups and what their rates of chlamydia are.
Well, and you mentioned that in STD clinics, everybody gets screened, but not necessarily in general practice. So how can providers in general practice bring up the issue of chlamydia screening in a sensitive way and without, you know, the young women feeling like they're being stigmatized or categorized?
Well, first of all, the providers themselves have to feel comfortable talking about it. And I found in my years of working with primary health care providers that some of them, you know, they may not necessarily feel comfortable talking about it. And so when you're telling people, well, we want you to do this, we need to, first of all, check your comfort level, okay? So first of all, I would talk about the provider. So I get the provider up to a level that they feel comfortable talking about it. Maybe I need to give you a script, and I say, okay, this is what you say to everyone. So it would be a standardized script so that they're not kind of talking off of the cuff. They're just kind of saying the same thing to every patient. It's a standardized thing. Another thing that I've done to help providers feel more comfortable with talking about it to their patients is sometimes you can do it on a questionnaire. You know, I've had some providers that have said, okay, well, I can tell you that I don't feel comfortable talking about it, but maybe if it's on a questionnaire sheet. You know, oftentimes when we go to healthcare providers' offices, we have about a 20-page sheet of risk factors to fill out before we get back to see the healthcare provider. And so just simply including that question on there, we offer chlamydia testing to everyone. Would you like chlamydia testing today? That would really help a provider who felt uncomfortable with having that discussion, because then it could be a checklist on a form. So those are some things that I have worked with people in the past who have felt a little bit uncomfortable about that. But I tell all of my healthcare providers, use it as a standard so that no one gets offended and thinks, you know, well, why is she just asking only me? You know, I have a line where I say to everyone, we offer chlamydia testing to everyone who comes into the office. Would you like to be screened for chlamydia today? You know, making it a standard process has worked, you know, for a lot of people. And then, you know, for some people, they do feel comfortable having that conversation, which I do feel is better than having it on a sheet of paper, because when I have a conversation with you, I can elicit a sexual history. I can do prevention counseling. I can talk to you about ways to protect yourself and also ways to ask your partner those questions that need to be answered before people start to have sex or continue to have sex with that partner. So I really prefer the approach where I'm actually having a conversation, but for those who don't feel comfortable, there is always the option of having a sheet of paper with a checklist where the information is provided for them and for the patient, and the patient can then just check off on the checklist whether or not they want testing or not.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the negative consequences of chlamydia, and we've talked about how there's an easy screening test, and you had briefly alluded to the fact that, you know, treatment's available, but can you talk a little more about how chlamydia is treated and, you know, the impact that treatment has on some of these bad consequences that come about as a result of the infection?
Well, chlamydia is treated with an antibiotic. You can use, the first line is azithromycin, or you can use doxycycline is something we've been using for years, but we prefer azithromycin as a first line because it is a one-dose medication that you take, and you don't have to worry about taking it for 7 days. So, I mean, it's a relatively easy process to get treated, and the success rate for eradication of chlamydia after treatment is actually very high with that method. So it's very easy to get treated. You're also, when you get treated, you're decreasing or actually getting rid of the chances that you will actually infect someone else with chlamydia. And so, you know, it's an easily cured disease, and that's why sometimes it's very sad to see the consequences that can happen because of it, because it is so easily treated. You know, everyone, I want to just let you know, everyone that gets chlamydia is not going to get pelvic inflammatory disease. You know, everyone who gets pelvic inflammatory disease does not get scarring of the tubes. So I don't want to scare people into thinking that, oh, my gosh, if I get chlamydia, I'm not going to be able to have babies. That is not what I'm saying. And unfortunately, some people get that message. What it says is that if you have chlamydia, you need to make sure that you get it treated because there's a possibility that it may progress, you know, to pelvic inflammatory disease. And if you get pelvic inflammatory disease, it may cause scarring of your tubes. So I don't want people to think just because I have chlamydia or I had chlamydia or if I get chlamydia in the future that this means that I can't get babies, have babies. That is definitely not what I'm saying. But what I would advise you on is to make sure that you become an advocate for yourself and you go and you tell your healthcare provider that you would like to be screened for chlamydia at least on a yearly basis. And if you're over the age of 25, it's not to say that people over the age of 25 cannot get chlamydia at all. I would still suggest that you all go to your healthcare providers too and that you get tested on an annual basis for chlamydia. I'm an advocate that everyone should get tested, married, not married, monogamous relationship, multiple partner relationship. It doesn't matter. I'm an advocate for your health that you go, whether you're male or female, to get tested for chlamydia at least once a year, and more than that if you need to, if you have symptoms or if you have a partner change and you're having unprotected sex with that partner.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Partnership for Prevention has organized the National Chlamydia Coalition to help increase chlamydia screening rates. And the coalition has produced a guide entitled Why Screen for Chlamydia, which is available online at www.prevent.org/NCC. How can efforts like the guide and trying to make those information as widely available as possible, do you think that's going to help the screening rates, or what else do we need to do?
I mean, I really think that to get at healthcare providers, you've got to get in the training stages. I think that we've got to increase the amount of STD that's in the curriculum in healthcare provider schools. I'm a physician, so I can speak from a medical school that it is not a lot of time in the curriculum that is spent on STDs. So I think that we definitely need to start there with getting more STD in the curriculum, getting more clinical exposure for people when they are in medical school and residency to STDs, getting them to be able to feel comfortable with taking a sexual history and being able to talk to people, you know, about screening. I think, you know, getting at, you know, going to more conferences and speaking about this at more conferences, you know, not just at an STD conference, because in an STD conference, you're pretty much preaching to the choir, because people who go to an STD conference are going to be people who are interested in STDs. I mean, you know, they're going to probably be people who are already doing the things they need to be done, but probably going to conferences that do not have anything at all to do with STDs and talking about STDs and getting a wider audience base as far as that's concerned. In addition to that, talking to insurance companies about paying for the screening for chlamydia. You know, you've got, you know, we have the CDC and the U.S. Preventive Task Force. You know, typically when those entities have recommendations, you know, insurance companies will usually pick them up and pay for that screening, but some of them may not. So talking to the healthcare, you know, insurance providers about making sure that they would provide reimbursement if people decide that they want to get tested for chlamydia. So I think those are definitely some ways, you know, to do that. And then as your organization has these pamphlets, you know, it's a nice pamphlet, Why Screen for Chlamydia, but just, you know, disseminating this pamphlet, you know, so it's a great information guide. But, you know, maybe, you know, sending out a mailing campaign where you target, you know, just general healthcare providers and just send this information out. But I think that, you know, it has to be a multi-pronged approach as to how, you know, we get at these entities. And, of course, the more exposure you get, the better. You know, getting it more in the media, you know, more so. You know, you really only hear about STDs. I know I do. You know, you have World AIDS Day in December, You know, and so for a whole day, you hear about World AIDS Day on December 1st. You know, every, you know, radio station and television program is talking about World AIDS Day, you know, but AIDS doesn't only happen on December 1st, you know, but outside of that, you never hear about STDs. And so I think it's one of those things that people think that, you know, it's bad if people have an STDs, it's stigmatizing, but, you know, in actuality, when you look at the rates of STDs, especially when you're looking at chlamydia, you know, in certain age groups, you're talking about one in three, you know, people have been infected, you know, with chlamydia. So, you know, I think definitely getting on the horn and getting the word out and just dissemination of information is going to be key in looking at creative outlets for sending information out to reach people who need to be reached and to reach healthcare providers who don't do it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, Doctor. Our guest has been Dr. Yolanda Wimberly at the Center for Excellence in Sexual Health at the Morehouse School of Medicine. You can read more about the National Chlamydia Coalition's efforts online at www.prevent.org/NCC. I'm Corinne Houston for Partnership for Prevention, wishing you a good day and reminding you that prevention matters.